Shabbat Shalom. This week's parasha is Ki Tisa, which means when you take up. It covers Exodus chapter 30, starting at verse 11, and it goes through chapter 34. Today, though, we're going to concentrate on the golden calf. Israel had come through the Red Sea toward Mount Sinai. Moses goes up to the mountain for 40 days. God gives him the law and carves out the Ten Commandments. During Moses' absence, the Israelis become restless. There's an old saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And despite so recently having celebrating their first Passover, leaving Egypt and seeing God's great miracles, their faith is weak. God calls Israel a stiff-necked people. But brothers and sisters, I believe this applies to all of us. We all lean on our own understanding instead of doing what God commands us to do. So while Moses is away, the people play. They want their own God to worship and tell Aaron to make them a God in the shape of a calf. In his moral weakness, Aaron obliges them and decrees a festival to the Lord the next day. Aaron builds an altar in front of the calf. And the people rise early, sacrifice burnt offerings, eat and drink, and engage in revelry. Brothers and sisters, this was no wine and cheese gathering. This was outright debauchery. Meanwhile, atop the mountain, Moses is receiving the instructions from the Almighty. Moses has come a long way. This former murderer and excuse maker is now leading the nation and mediating for them. He is beginning to be the man that God wants him to be, but not on his own, but by the power of Adonai. God, being fully aware of what is going on at the base of the mountain, tells Moses, "Go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it." Moses is grieved. He pleads with God on behalf of Israel. Moses seeks to persuade Adonai not to destroy these people. Here we see the humility and the loyalty of Moses. He says, "Do not take it out on them, Lord." Moses suggests that the Egyptians would certainly interpret this in the wrong way, as if God's purpose was to destroy the Jewish people. Moses asks God to remember his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And some people might think that Moses is changing the heart of God. This would be incorrect. God does not change his mind, ever. God knows what he is going to do. He has seen the end even before we see the beginning. In this case, he is allowing Moses to act as Israel's mediator by pleading their cause before him. Moses continues down the mountain and he meets Joshua, who tells him that something is going on in the camp. But Moses already knows this. When they arrive at the bottom of the mountain, Moses sees the depravity and his anger burns, just as God's anger burned at the top of the mountain. Moses smashes the tablets of the Ten Commandments, and he destroys the golden calf. Moses can hardly believe that Aaron could be manipulated by the people to do this evil thing. Aaron shifts the blame to the people and asks Moses not to be angry. He tells Moses that the people thought he was dead and wanted Aaron to make a god to go ahead of them. Aaron says that he had asked for all the gold to be brought to him and very absurdly claims that he threw the gold into the fire and out came a calf. Really? Dismissing Aaron's ridiculous claims, Moses stands at the entrance of the camp and declares, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." Only the tribe of Levi rallies to him. Moses tells them to take a sword and do as Adonai has said. Moses instructs the Levites to go out throughout the camp, killing all those who caused this trouble. 3,000 men were put to death that day. Moses commends the tribe of Levi by putting the holiness of God even above their love of family. Though the chosen people have disregarded God's command, so soon after seeing all of his miracles, God was still willing to forgive them. They would be punished, but God would continue to fulfill the promises he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a promise keeper. His unconditional promise was not based on what the people deserved. It was a gracious gift he gave them, mercy and forgiveness for their repentant hearts. A few closing thoughts. On that Shavuot, when the Torah was given, 3,000 Jewish people died for their idolatry. About 1,500 years later, on another Shavuot, the one following Yeshua's resurrection from the dead, the Holy Spirit was given and 3,000 Jewish people were made alive. This shows us the contrast between law and grace, between futile attempts at self-righteousness and true righteousness when Messiah gives us a gift. One leads to death, the other to life. Today, the Holy Spirit is given to all who follow the Lord. For the past 2,000 years, the Spirit has indwelt believers to guide and help us. Just as God helped Moses to mature, he also helps us. Like Moses, we can assume the responsibility God gives to us to be leaders of our homes and families and to help us guide others. Finally, brothers and sisters, we should remember that when Moses summoned all who would be faithful to him and rally on him for that terrible day, only the tribe of Levi responded. Just one tribe out of 12. The majority were unrepentant. This is a good reminder to choose wisely, to have courage, and never blindly follow the majority. Amen.